Joining me now is actor, director, producer Bob Balaban. If you don't know that name immediately, you certainly know his face. If you've watched Friends, he played Phoebe's dad. If you watched Seinfeld, he played Elaine's boyfriend, Russell Dalrymple. If you've seen movies from Absence of Malice to Close Encounters of the Third Kind to The Mexican to Cradle Will Rock to Waiting for Guffman to Best in Show, he's got a new one out now called Gosford Park that's in theaters right now, and I'm happy to have him on the show. Hello, Bob.
Well, hi, Paul. It's good to be here.
That's a pretty impressive resume I just mentioned, and I think that's like a tenth of the projects you've been involved in. I'd like to go back to the first time I ever noticed you in a movie, which was in Close Encounters.
Oh, wow. What a fun time I had standing next to Francois Truffaut and being the only person who could speak French, and he hated to speak English. It was you would have paid people to be there, actually.
Did they hire you because you spoke French?
They hired me because I pretended I could speak French. So I sat in a room with Steven Spielberg and Julia Phillips, who recently died, our wonderful producer, Richard Dreyfuss, and the casting director. And they said, well, Bob, we understand you speak French. It's very important you speak French. Say a few things in French. And I said, oh, il y avait beaucoup d'années depuis que j'ai parlé français. Si vous me donnez ce boulot, ce sera très. I went on telling them in pretty decent French that it had been many years since I had spoken French, and I really was going to have a very difficult time if I got the job. But I felt I was being honest because I was telling the truth, although in the wrong language. None of them spoke a word of French, and they said, great, you've got the job.
I love that. They ask you to speak French, but they don't understand you.
Yes. And then I went to Berlitz frantically for about 2 months leading up to shooting, and then when I met Truffaut, who was such a wonderful, obviously great filmmaker, but such a terrific person as well. And I was able to express to him in my then halting French the fact that I had gotten this job by pretending to speak French, and I was supposed to be his interpreter. They would just say to me, oh, now say whatever Francois is saying, and then go talk to him. And I would just, like, he would see my eyes roll in my head, and I'd be very nervous. He thought it was funny. You know, Truffaut was a humanist, and he loved putting awkward people into difficult situations, so he thought the whole thing was right. And after 10 months, I can now speak French. It was a free course in French with Francois Truffaut as my Berlitz instructor.
Now, how was that working on a movie like that with a guy by the name of Steven Spielberg as your director, who had some success with Jaws, but wasn't, you know, Steven Spielberg with all capital letters like he is today?
He's the same Steven Spielberg.
But you're working with him. You're working with him and Truffaut, another great director, at the same time.
Yeah.
Were there battles between the two of them over how they should do things?
Oh, yes, Francois Cook always said, I want the UFOs to be a little greener. No, I'm kidding. No, Francois would never have done anything like that. There was a moment before shooting began where Truffaut said to Steven Spielberg, with the help of a translator, I want you to know I am here as the actor, Francois Truffaut. I am not the director. You know, anything you tell me, I will do it, and I'm keeping my mouth shut. I mean, he was very clear to say that in the beginning, and of course, he did exactly that. As he often explained, Truffaut would never have been able, nor would he have been interested, to do this kind of a movie. This was a Steven movie. This was so clearly not a Francois movie, and he was absolutely delightful about that. And I think Steven, and probably the rest of us, to some extent, we're a little frightened, you know, a little in awe. But because Truffaut was such a regular guy, everybody got over it pretty quickly.
Now, another of your performances that caught my eye years ago was in Absence of Malice with Paul Newman and Sally Field.
I was very
Field.
Mean. Yeah.
Yeah, you were a mean guy, but were you a prosecutor in the movie or a district attorney?
I was
an
overzealous prosecutor who bent the rules to get to try to pin something on Paul Newman, who did have sort of a gangstery background. And it was an interesting movie. It was written by Kurt Luttke, who used to be the editor of the Detroit Free Press. And it was a movie written about morals and the press. I mean, quite prescient in many ways.
Yes, a very, very good movie. But the thing that sticks in my mind about your performance is the rubber band.
I did have a rubber band. It was in the script. I wish I could lie and tell you that the brilliant Bob thought of it, and I just didn't. It was there, and I did whatever they said in the script, and it was useful. I liked the rubber band, but I didn't think of it.
But you've been in a lot of movies where you've, you know, had to come up with stuff.
And oh, yeah.
I mentioned Waiting for Guffman and Best in Show, two terrific movies you did with Christopher Guest, which I hear a lot of them were improvised.
Well, the entire thing is improvised. That's the Spinal Tap mode that we're in for those movies, in which there's an outline written, and the scene says three people are there, they're sort of talking about their dog, and that's what it says. And then you go and do whatever you want to do, and you don't rehearse, and you just kind of do it, which you would think would be hard, but of course in the long run, it's much easier and a lot more fun if Christopher Guest is leading you down this path.
Now,
it's a lot of fun.
When you're doing that, do you do it all in front of the cameras, or do you sit around in a room and say, let's try this, that's a good thing, let's do that?
No, that's like writing. This is like sort of classic improvisation 101 in a funny sort of way. I studied as a teenager in Chicago at the Second City with a wonderful woman named Viola Spolin, who is kind of the mother of improvisation. And one of the rules is, when you're improvising, you are not writing. You know, you're not planning and thinking. Improvising really is just, what are my circumstances? Now put me out there and let my machine, let me operate and see what happens. So there's a lot cut from these things because it wanders around and it's not too linear. But if you're really all doing it and nobody's a hog and hopefully somebody is a little bit funny, but not exactly by telling jokes, it works out pretty well if you're patient.
Well, you work with some pretty funny people, and I don't know how you were able to keep a straight face in some of those scenes in Waiting for Guffman where you're face-to-face with Fred Willard.
Well, who kept a straight face? You know, you would just do your best, and then you'd laugh, and then they'd cut.
You know?
Although, actually, with Fred, it was sort of easy to keep a straight face because he's so good that even though it's funny when you see the movie, when you're with him, mostly you're aware of the reality, which is he's a sweaty guy who doesn't know what he's doing, and he's just desperately trying to do something. It's kind of anxiety-provoking to be with somebody like that, even though it's quite funny when you see the movie.
And so it makes sense for his character, thus it makes sense for your character.
Yeah, it all makes sense. Maggie Smith, this was a challenge. Well, I wouldn't have laughed when she said things. She's one of the stars of Gosford Park.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody in it is fabulous, and Emily Watson and Kristen Scott Thomas and all these amazing British people who were in it. But it was, to me, it was very frightening. I produced it, but I was also in it playing an American movie producer and the only American. And it was a little daunting to be sitting there at a table with these lords and ladies and the kings and queens, even if they didn't have titles, of British acting royalty, and having them sort of stare at you because you were the funny American producer and have Maggie Smith put you down all the time. It was very exciting and a little nervous-making.
Now, Altman is also known for improvising when he makes movies. How much of what I saw when I saw the movie was improvised in Gosford Park?
This movie was not much improvised. The script was precisely and beautifully written by Julian Fellowes, and Robert never really wanted it to be deconstructed in that way. There were definitely scenes when we were all together at the dinner table, when 23 people are sitting in a living room and there are 10 lines of dialogue and the camera's dollying around. You have to say something. You can't just do nothing. So in a funny way, it was great preparation for the rest of the movie because we would sit there for hours doing these scenes, and Bob would encourage us to invent behavior, to invent relationships between all these characters so that we didn't necessarily use a lot of that. Ultimately ended up on the cutting room floor of most of that stuff, but it gave us a great background so that when you were in other scenes, you always knew what you were doing and who you were doing it with. It was almost as if we had 4 weeks of rehearsal for a play and you got to know everybody. It was very helpful. My character's on the telephone all the time, my sort of nasty American movie producer, and in those cases, there definitely were some times when Bob just said, oh, be on the phone and just pretend you're calling California. Talk, film, shoot, go.
Throw the name Clara Bow in if you can.
Yes. Well, yeah. We all had a little background research. I knew my movie Charlie Chan in London very well, and I was able to just kind of talk about it. But for the most part, the movie is constructed like a fine-tuned box. It's emotional, but it's witty, so you can't step on the jokes. You know, a lot of those things really depend on precision, plus the fact that it's a mystery. And if you were improvising, my God, what if you did something that ruined the mystery?
Right. Now, it says in the credits of Gosford Park, from an idea by Bob Balaban and Robert Altman.
Yes, Robert. I called Robert Altman 2.5 years ago, and I said, let's work together on a sort of an Agatha Christie kind of murder mystery, and that got the ball rolling, so to speak. I think Bob, right off the bat, went, oh, you just selected something that I never did before, which in his case is really hard to find something he hasn't done before. And I think it also was very interesting for him to work in a huge ensemble of British great actors, because he'd never done that. You know, none of his movies has been set in England before. And it was just an instant way of accessing what he loves the most, which is to be in a large group of talented people that are fresh, you know, for him. So we sat around, we talked about it, we sort of honed the idea a little bit, and then we called Julian, a friend of mine who I've been working with for several years on another project, and he flew over and wrote a script, and you'd think it was easy. I mean, he did such a good job. Bob said, I'll do the movie, and then we went away.
You guys must carry some weight to be able to get a movie like this made.
Well, Robert certainly does. I mean, he carries, you know, a treasure trove of classic movies that he's made.
Yep.
He never stops. you never know what Robert Altman will do next. Do you know what I mean? There is no Robert Altman movie. You just know it's a Robert Altman movie because something about it seems like real life. I mean, that to me is the only common denominator. They're always characters that are never one-dimensional. Everybody in his movies is somebody you never saw before, and that's very hard to do over and over, but I don't think Bob can help it. I just think that's how he approaches life. He's a renegade.
I have to ask you about one scene in the movie, the pheasant hunt.
Oh, the pheasant hunt. Yes, what's the question?
I know a little something about movies. I know a little something about special effects. Mm-hmm. How did you make these birds look like they were shot and dropping from the sky?
We trained them for years. We started 3 years ago. And those pheasants were so good that if you just said the magic word, they could dance a little bit. You know, they could pretend they were dead. They would get up again and cha-cha a little
bit. They got in the dog's mouth with no problem.
Oh, it was just fantastic. We did the pheasant hunt for the movie in February because you cannot kill pheasants in April when the movie was being shot. So Robert and I put together a second unit. We went out, had all these pheasants go into the sky, and we shot them all, I'm sorry to say. But again, somebody else would have done it if we didn't. They were raised to be shot. You know, we could have eaten the pheasants. Nobody would mind, you know.
Wait a second. Weren't the animal rights people all over you? You actually killed them?
You think they have animals? Well, no. In England, they love animals, but... what if we were just having a pheasant hunt? Wouldn't that have been okay?
Yeah, but I thought that, you know, within the movie industry, there were 11,000 people who would come crashing down on your production if you stepped on an ant, let alone killed pheasants.
Let's not get into this. This could be disastrous. So we take these pheasants, we put them in hairnets and freeze them, and then 3.5 months later, we take them out to defrost them, and then we have prop people standing on the tops of ladders dropping dead pheasants on us.
It's very effective. And, you know, I thought to myself, well, you know, I don't know if they used computer-generated pheasants or what this was, but it was very effective in the movie.
We barely had it in the budget to have live pheasants. Like, 25 pheasants? I don't know. Could we get 23 pheasants, maybe, you know?
The movie is called Gosford Park. Bob Balaban, I had a great time talking to you today.
Thanks, Paul.
Do it again next time for another project.
Terrific. Good talking with you.
Thank you for your time today. Bob Balaban, you know, there's so much else I could have talked to him about today. We just don't have time. The man's been on the West Wing, and he was Warren Littlefield in the movie The Late Shift, and he was on Seinfeld and Friends. You know, we could do a half hour just on his TV work. But the movie's called Gosford Park. It's in theaters now. And this is the Big 550 KTRS.